This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the Senate has ditched the House version of the Obamacare repeal bill and has assembled a 13-member working group of senators to construct their own measure. With the House bill narrowly passing, what are the non-negotiables that will put the measure at risk when it returns to the House? We'll ask the chairman of the Conservative House Republican Study Committee, North Carolina Congressman Mark Walker, in just a moment. And a 30% decline in their stock value was apparently not enough for Target. Target launched a new line of in-your-face gay pride merchandise. President of the American Family Association, Tim Wildman, is here a little bit later. Also, the Russians celebrated the defeat of Nazi Germany 68 years ago today with a massive military parade in Moscow. Was Vladimir Putin flexing his military muscle? I'll ask retired Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin when he joins us later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you happen to miss anything on your way home this afternoon, you can find it all later right there at TonyPerkins.com. It's archived for you. If you're on Twitter, it's at T. Perkins. All right, the top Republican in the Senate, Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, has assembled a 13-member working group on health care. They've put aside the House bill, and they're coming up with their own. Now, remember, the House advanced the health care bill, the American Health Care Act, by a narrow, narrow margin, 217 to 213. But will pro-life-related issues in the repeal bill come back altered in a negative way? Will that cause the repeal bill to die? I mean, what are those non-negotiables that could put this whole thing at risk? Well, here to discuss that is Congressman Mark Walker. He represents the 6th Congressional District of North Carolina, and he is chairman of the Republican Study Committee, the largest conservative caucus in the House. Congressman Walker, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, always good to be with you. Thank you.
Are you surprised that they basically have put aside the House bill and are taking up and crafting their own measure in the Senate?
Somewhat surprised. I'm reserving judgment cautiously, but at the same time very focused on it, because I think you touched on it a little bit in your opening monologue there, is that there is little margin, specifically in the pro-life area, that we are willing to negotiate or be flexible whatsoever.
Well, let's talk about what are some of those non-negotiables that you think will put this measure at risk, because it has to come back over to the House. If the Senate modifies it, it has to come back, and then the House has to approve it. It goes to conference and all those different aspects. So the House will get another vote on it if the Senate changes it. What could put that at risk? What are the non-negotiables?
I think number one on that list is stripping out the language that we were able to really incorporate or implement, and a lot of groups like yours have helped us with that, but that's the defunding of Planned Parenthood for the next fiscal year. That's a non-negotiable, and I will tell you, and you touched on this as well, the 217 margin, this bill only passed by out of 435 members by two votes. I can name 50 probably off the top of my head, if I took long enough, probably close to 100, that would nixay this thing immediately. And we're not just saying that's reactive. We've let the Senate know that up front. So if that gets to the place, we want them thinking about it, whether they're going to try to tweak this or rewrite it, this 13-member committee, we want them to know up front that that's our position.
In addition to the defunding of Planned Parenthood, takes about 86% of their funding away from them. Of course, this with the backdrop of the videos that have come out about Planned Parenthood and the trafficking in baby body parts. But there's also provisions that you and others worked very diligently to get into this bill that Hyde-type language that protects taxpayers from being forced to fund abortion.
Exactly. So when we talk about those pro-life measures, there are members, and I've been in this journey for about 2.5 years, starting our second term. But I think of others who have worked year after year to fight for some of this language, and I think backing up at this point is strictly a non-starter. It's a non-negotiable. There are some other issues as well, repealing the $1 trillion of the Obamacare taxes and certainly helping individuals and employers from under these incredibly regulating mandate, that's one of the things that's very important to us.
Well, Congressman, you have to be pretty encouraged when you look at some of the senators on this 13-member working group. I mean, you've got Senator Mike Lee, you've got Senator Ted Cruz. So, I mean, Mark, I know you've worked with them, and, I mean, these are good guys, so that has to give you some encouragement.
It does, and that's why I said earlier, you know, we don't want to get too far ahead as far as test, disparaging remarks or comments. And I do have a lot of confidence. I see Senator Lee about every Tuesday evening. We get together, get kind of review some things. And very early on, Senator Cruz, Senator Paul, Senator Lee, myself, Mark Meadows, and Jim Jordan met together as far as making sure at the very beginning, because the first draft that came out did not have enough strong enough language. The RSC took the first shot over the bow, but we were united in making sure that not only then, but even now, that these pro-life measures are part of this repeal and replacement of the ACA.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. My guest, Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina. He is the chairman of the largest conservative caucus in the House, the Republican Study Committee. It's interesting. Some have noted that of these 13 members, there are no females on this working committee. And, of course, Susan Collins, one of just a few Republicans in the Senate, has spoken out, you know, very forcefully that she thinks Planned Parenthood should be funded. So do you read into this that Mitch McConnell understands the dynamics of what would happen to the House in the House if it comes back without that provision on Planned Parenthood?
It's hard sometimes in just being very transparent as far as Senator McConnell and some of the strategic things that he does or some of the chess moves he makes. I hope that he understands, you know, not only the panel that he's put together, but understands the dynamic. This is an issue across the board. This isn't male or female when it comes to pro-life measures. This is something that impacts all of us. And I think we stand united, and that's one of the reasons, and thankful to the Founding Fathers, that each and every one of us have an equal and balanced vote in the House as well as the Senate.
So what is next? What's the next big issue that the House tackles? You guys are back in your districts this week. You return next week to Washington. What is the next big item on the agenda?
Well, overall, in the conference, you're starting to hear a lot about tax reform, seeing what measures those are involved, and specifically both the corporate and the individual side. That's going to be a battle. It's one of the interesting issues, Tony, because we have conservatives really on both sides of things like border adjustment tax. That's going to take some working. We're grateful that the president and certainly vice president, that Mike Pence, so he's behind the scenes, played a huge role in helping us get to a resolution on the healthcare policy. It's probably going to take the same measures in tax reform. Specifically, our office, we're looking to put together a bill that returns all the education decisions to the state. Hopefully be able to introduce that here in about a month, maybe 45 days or so.
So overall, Congressman Walker, as we go into, we're now, past the 100-day mark, new session of Congress, new president. Are you encouraged with what you see happening?
Listen, I'm extremely encouraged. And the word that I think about, I was talking to people, we're traveling through some of our smaller counties even today while I'm talking with you. There's a lot of hope because and everybody's in agreement that whether it's a tweet here or there or whether it's the tactics, not everybody's agreement as far as the president's approach, but what they are united on is the ability and what he's been able to do to augment the process to be able to get some wonderful things that have been done that politicians have promised for years. We're seeing this happening in real time. Also, you're seeing some of the finest appointments and had an opportunity to spend a couple hours just the other evening with the Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch. These are great wins, and it's wins that we've needed for decades. So from that perspective, absolutely I'm excited about what lies ahead.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, Congressman Mark Walker. I want to thank you. You've been very generous with your time. I know you're back in the district. I have one final question for you. I know you also serve as the chairman of the Prayer Caucus, the bipartisan Congressional Prayer Caucus. You're a Southern Baptist minister. What would you say to the Christians that are out there across the country that are listening to the program in about 41 different states across America? What would you say is most important that they do right now?
Well, I think you touched on it even in the introduction there. There are times where we as individuals, even myself as a member, we feel limited in what we can do. But there's a reason that every Monday night, when we fly in and we take that first boat, Tony, there's about a 30-minute gap between 6:30 and 7 p.m., and anywhere from 12 to 20 of us, we gather in a room just about 20 feet outside the chamber, and we pray for God's guidance and direction. If my one ask, it would be for the American people, the Christians, the evangelical believers, they would continue to pray Proverbs 3 and 5, that is to seek God's guidance where he can continue to make our path straight.
Well, we will encourage folks to continue to do that and appreciate the leadership you provide there in the Republican Study Committee, and look forward to seeing you when you get back in next week.
God bless, Tony. Thanks for your good work.
All right. Congressman Mark Walker of North Carolina, chairman of the Republican Study Committee. In fact, he'll be working with us coming up. Pastors, if you are not yet signed up for the Watchman on the Wall conference coming up May the 24th through the 26th, in Washington, D.C. Actually, Congressman Walker is going to be one of our speakers and doing one of the breakout sessions on one of the important topics we're dealing with, where we deal with all the issues involving the various streams of the church, ethnic backgrounds. He's going to be leading a conversation on that. So if you've not yet registered, there's still a little bit of room. Check this morning. We've got a few spots left for our annual Watchman on the Wall briefing just for pastors, just pastors. That's it. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. We will save a spot for you if you call quickly. Go to the website, get the information, and we'd love to have you be a part of this year's Watchman on the Wall conference. Because look, our work did not end. You've heard me talk about this. It didn't end with the election. The opportunities are, they're there. We've got some great opportunities, but they're not going to just happen. We're not going to see these things just fall into place. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got to pray, got to work, got to rebuild, got to restore, got to uproot a lot of the bad stuff that was put in place by the Obama administration. These things that they did, these policies, pushing these policies, not legislatively. Most of this was all done, with the exception of Obamacare, what he did in the first 2 years when he actually had control of the House and the Senate. But most of what he did was by policy, by executive order, by using the bully pulpit, and has really reshaped our government and the culture. And so these things are not going to self-correct. We've got to go back and undo them and change them. It's going to require work, require prayer, persistence. All right, you're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. When we come back on the other side of the break, Target, apparently a 30% decline in their stock value was not enough after they began championing the LGBT agenda with their bathroom and changing room policy. Well, they're at it again. Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association, joins me on the other side of the break. Don't go away. We're back with a lot more Washington Watch right after this.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrades. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrades' Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
Jesus goes out of his way to help us move from the pain of the past. Hi, Kim Catola for Cradle My Heart today. Susie couldn't imagine a close personal relationship with Jesus because of several abortions in her past. She feared rejection or worse, indifference. But Jesus cares. He often let people interrupt him, especially the needy and hard cases. He once even put his own spiritual agenda at risk for the sake of a crippled man, jeopardizing Jesus' trip to the temple on a special feast day. But Jesus didn't let that stop him. Susie found that Jesus is not afraid of our neediness after abortion either. He's here to help. How will you respond knowing that Jesus has made you his priority today? Find a network of Christ-centered organizations offering help for unplanned pregnancy and hope after abortion at cradlemyheart.org. Saving lives and healing hearts after abortion, one story at a time. CradleMyHeart.org.
You know, if you see a huge group of people and they're all in line waiting to do something and they're all happy about it, don't you wonder, okay, what's going on? What am I missing here? Why are these people so excited? In this case, it's thousands of people doing the same thing. They're joining MediShare. MediShare members share each other's medical expenses. It's that simple. They've shared over $1 billion in healthcare expenses since 1993, so they can handle your healthcare expenses too. With MediShare, you get affordable options to fit almost any budget. For most members, MediShare is about half the cost of other healthcare programs. You should at least check into it. This may be one of those things you start doing and then wonder, why didn't I look into this a long time ago? What was I thinking? Don't miss out. You can find out more. Call 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, in spite of suffering one of its biggest ever drop in drops in active trading and their share prices, I mean, they took a bath. Target Corporation is doubling down on its LGBT activism. For the second consecutive year, Target is using Take Pride hashtag on social media to promote its rainbow-themed merchandise. I mean, this is really in your face. And, you know, of course, their bathroom policy that they adopted after North Carolina, the incident where North Carolina, the Charlotte, they forced this on businesses. And then, of course, the state stepped in and, you know, said you can't do that. And so then Target trying to make a big statement, I guess thinking they were going to lead the parade, and they got out there and found that they're the only ones that adopted this confused bathroom policy and changing room policy, has been plagued with cases, criminal cases of voyeurism and other things happening in their changing rooms as a result of this. So what's next? They've got almost 1.5 million Americans have taken a pledge not to shop at Target stores. They're, as I said, their stocks are taking a beating. And now they're doing this. Well, I'm going to talk to, do we have Tim? All right, Tim Wildman is going to join us in a moment. I think he's going to join us from the checkout line of some undisclosed retailer. But we're trying to track him down. I'm going to see what his take on this, because I don't, quite frankly, I don't get it. I mean, they clearly, they're in denial in saying that their bathroom and changing room policy is unrelated to their decline in sales and their stock prices dropping. I mean, come on. I mean, you don't have to, you don't need, this is not rocket science. It's basic math. Well, joining us now is the president of the American Family Association, Tim Wildman. Tim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon, wherever you may be listening, Tony.
Are you still at that undisclosed retail checkout line?
A bunker somewhere buying groceries. Hey, well, one thing's for sure, I'm not at Target.
Well, I didn't think so. I didn't think, nor is about 1.5 other million Americans.
Right.
I mean, what do you make of this latest in-your-face move by Target?
You mean the rainbow clothing line?
Yeah. I mean, what's that about?
This company is just so far left. They're just driven by their ideology. And they don't care. They think this is good, either good business in the long term or... they're willing to sacrifice 1.5 million families into their stores and more who won't sign that. There are a lot of people who will not go into Target anymore, but they haven't signed the petition that we have up. So I think they're losing money because their ideology, and they're losing bad.
Well, you've been the American Family Association. You guys have been at this for a long time and very successful at it. I mean, when you look at kind of the behavior of this corporation, I mean, would you say that it's Target's own pride that's driving their pride campaign, that they're unwilling to say that they made a mistake and they're just going deeper?
I think yes. I think you're exactly right. They miscalculated. Here's what happened. This is about a year ago now. You remember HB2 from North Carolina was in the news, right?
Right.
Every day. And, you know, Bruce Springsteen and, you know, the rest of the world was just beating up on North Carolina, how terrible this was. If they had a law that you had to go to the restroom and changing area and showers that were state-owned, you had to go into, according to your birth certificate. That's a radical idea, I know, but that's what they came up with there in North Carolina. Well, Target thought, hey, we're going to join in. We're just going to have our own beat up on North Carolina announcement. And so they announced it to the world, unprovoked, other than North Carolina, that they were going to do this. Men can come into women's restrooms in our stores, and they come into the changing areas, and they can, you know, if they think they're a woman. Of course, I don't know how you don't measure that. You don't police that. You just tell, basically, you're just saying men are welcome in women's dressing rooms and changing areas. And so that's what happened. They thought, everybody would say, yeah, us too, Target, thanks for leading the way.
Right.
And nobody else did. And so they're
stuck
out there.
They're all
themselves.
By themselves. Yep. That's right. Well, you know, they're pushing this whole pride campaign, and I guess, you know, we'll see that, or actually, I think we're already seeing that Proverbs is correct that pride goes before fall.
Well,
fall
they're losing
their
tons
stock
of money.
Prices.
Tons of money and tons of customers. And it's, I think, you know, the good thing about this, Tony, this has been sustained. Now for a year, and I think it'll last even longer. And what if Target never changes back to a common sense approach to this issue? Still, we've been able everybody who signed the petition, whether they're AFA supporters or not, we have stopped the train, the juggernaut, if you will, that was going to sweep the Fortune 500 companies. With announcements similar to Target's after people saw what happened to Target. So it's been worthwhile.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. I think the others have taken notice. There's still some trying to get government to force them to do it because they don't want to do it on their own because they don't want to go down the same path as Target. So very quickly, up against a break, you know what that means. The petition, you're still pushing this boycott.
We're 1.5 million people. That represents families for the most part. Walker Wildman, my son, and I were going back to Minneapolis to deliver the 500,000 we've accumulated since the last time we went up there. So they're got Target's going to meet us.
Make sure you use the restroom before you get there.
I will. And I'm going to tell them, look, you want people to come back to your stores, give up this foolishness.
All right, Tim Wildman, as always, great to talk with
you. Okay, thanks, Tony.
All right. Hey, folks, if you want to sign that petition, go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over. And look, Tim is absolutely right. You know, Target may not have changed their policies, and I do think it's pride. I think there's an arrogance there that they don't want to admit it, and that's fine. That's fine because I think, you know, they're going to tank even more so. But it is sending a message to other retailers not to go down this path. So very important participate in it. All right, coming up next, President Trump has his hands full with various foreign policy challenges. Our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins us after the break to discuss what took place in Russia today. That's next.
Making the most of your money, here's Dan Celia.
Fed President from the Federal Reserve Bank of Cleveland indicated that we must be vigilant against falling behind. And what she was talking about was falling behind interest rate hikes. Cleveland Federal Reserve President Loretta Mister said that if we delay too long in taking the next normalization step, we could risk a recession. One of the things that she indicated was that a gradual upward path on rate hikes will help prolong the expansion, not hurt it. I have to say that I agree with her 100%. She's not a voting Fed president for 2017. She will be next year. So she's not voting on whether we raise or lower or what we do with interest rates. But she's absolutely right in that we need to stay on a steady path of increasing interest rates till we get to some sense of normalization. So two more hikes this year are in order. And yes, it will keep the economy, or we should say some of the enthusiasm that is left, it will be back for the economy in the markets from heating up too much, and will create a gradual growth pattern for economic expansion. That's exactly what we want to see. You've heard me say that many times. As we look at the market growth, we want to see a slow, gradual growth in the economy.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And at the website, I've mentioned this a couple of times, but we're taking a cruise, the Family Research Council, end of July, first part of August, cruise to Alaska. Still got a few spots open on that. We will have Michelle Bachmann will be with us, Ken Blackwell, ambassador, and a member of the Trump transition team. And my next guest will be joining us as well, our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. And by the way, General, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And at ease, okay? At ease, all right. The international stage has been pretty busy for President Trump ever since he took office. But even today, I mean, it doesn't seem like he ever gets a break. Today, Russia putting on display its military force with this 68th annual anniversary, or the anniversary of defeating Nazi Germany, put on a pretty good show there in Moscow. And then the U.S. Talking about strengthening troops in Afghanistan. So the president's pretty busy on the foreign fields.
He sure is. And it was not only Red Square, which, you know, they've been doing that since the end of World War II, but there were lesser parades in about 27 other cities across Russia. So Vladimir Putin is going all out now to demonstrate that he is definitely a force to be reckoned with.
So you think there's more behind it than just having a nice parade and celebrating what took place 68 years ago? It's I think in Putin's mind, it's probably more about what's going to happen tomorrow, is it not?
Well, I think it is, Tony. I think that you have to understand that this is propaganda. And he's been doing this, of course, the Russians have been doing this, again, since World War II. But it is propaganda, and it's directed at two people. First of all, it's directed at the West, and I would say it is directed directly at Donald Trump. They're still trying to figure him out. But more, also importantly, it's directed at his own people. And you see this kind of thing when the leadership is trying to establish itself or reestablish itself as being a great world power, and I think it's propaganda is directed at those two audiences.
And don't you find some of this interesting with what's happening with Russia and all of this stuff that was said during the transition and into the first part of his, well, even back in the campaign and now in the first part of his administration about how he was so cozy with Russia and all of this stuff because he had made comments about Vladimir Putin. I mean, it doesn't look like there is this cozy relationship. It looks like Putin sees Donald Trump as a threat to his power.
Well, I think he does, and I think that he has demonstrated that he's going to stand up to Russia, unlike the last administration. And I don't think that's what Vladimir Putin was exactly expecting out of him, particularly given the campaign rhetoric. So this was just one demonstration of how he is he's flaunting his military prowess. And in fact, in this parade, we saw some unusual things, part of which was a fairly strong focus on the Arctic, where he clearly wants to be able to compete with the U.S. and Canada, as well as even the Scandinavian countries there in the Arctic regions. And some of the materiel that he had on display here was clearly directed towards and adapted to the subarctic climates up in the Arctic regions there.
So this was a form of messaging that subtle but very clear message that he was sending.
I think it absolutely was. I mean, they don't do this just so they can have a nice parade. It is clearly propaganda and messaging, and he's adept at it. I mean, he is a master at this. Remember, he's KGB.
Yeah, if it were just been about a parade, they would have thrown candy, but they didn't do any of that.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears here, General, while we still have you. Let's talk about Afghanistan, some developments there as well.
Well, that's right. And first of all, Tony, this is what, you know, the administrations refer to as a controlled leak of information. In other words, Donald Trump has not made the decision to deploy another 3,000 to 5,000 troops, but it has been recommended to him by his national security apparatus. Put another 3,000 in at least, at a minimum, and hope that the NATO contingent will add a like number of troops there. And the meeting with the NATO forces there is on the 25th of May, at which time Trump will then have to make his proposal. But they leaked this information to see how it's going to play in the press. Now, that also has something to do with Russia as well. And that is because it has been announced by the NATO commander in Afghanistan that the Russians have been helping to arm the Taliban. So once again, Trump is coming right back. You know, you can make your bid, but I'm going to overbid you. I'm going to trump you, no pun intended. And so I think that part of what we're seeing here is him saying to the Russians, okay, you want to get bogged down in Afghanistan again? You want to see the same outcome that you've seen before? Then we'll play that game, but we'll go one up on that.
So there's already about 8,000 American troops in Afghanistan, mostly serving in advisory roles. Will these be doing the same?
Well, these will be. It is announced that they will be primarily trainers and facilitators. But it is also recommended by the national security team that they put additional aircraft in and that they allow the U.S. forces there to accompany Afghan forces.
Hey, General, hold right there. Hold that thought. We're going to come back and talk on the other side of the break.
We all know what it feels like. We try to avoid it. Experts define it as an unpleasant sensory and emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage, or describes in terms of such damage. What is it? It's pain. Did you realize that you probably started feeling pain at a very young age, or even before you were born? Scientific studies have increased our knowledge of life inside the womb. We now have strong evidence that unborn babies can feel pain by 20 weeks or earlier. At Family Research Council, we believe that all babies are worth protecting. We also hope that even those who don't share our pro-life commitment will listen to the medical community and support laws that protect the unborn child from cruel suffering. For more information, visit frc.org/fetal pain. That is frc.org/fetal pain.
Consider serving with Friendships. It's an all-volunteer ministry providing aid to disaster victims, refugees, and the impoverished here at home and around the world. We're now taking applications. If you're available to serve without pay, you can be part of the crew reaching out to help people in need. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
Join Frank Turek, Richard Land, Norman Geisler, Greg Kokel, and others for Southern Evangelical Seminary's National Conference on Christian Apologetics. It's October 13th and 14th in Charlotte, North Carolina. Enjoy informative talks, a live debate, and a dialogue with Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. Plus, there's the premiere of the American Family Association documentary, The God Who Speaks. Early bird pricing ends August 1st. Visit ses.edu for details.
Your mission is to find Granny and get that sauce.
Affirmative.
1 million moms in association with American Family Studios introduces Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent.
I'm Ryan DeFrady's. I work alone.
Ryan is arrogant and reckless until the day he's paired with a very unlikely partner.
No way! I can do this alone, without anyone's help, much less my mom's.
Look, Ryan.
She's my mom!
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent is the new action-adventure series featuring a young spy with a whole lot to learn.
Mama's coming, sweetie!
She's an agent! Get her, boys!
Each exciting, fun-filled episode teaches children important values, like honoring parents and respecting authority. And there's a brief wrap-up at the end that connects the story to a biblical illustration. Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Perfect for children ages 6 and over. Order yours today at ryansecretagent.com.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines here in a minute. We're going to continue a conversation we started yesterday talking about these after-school Bible clubs and the importance of reaching young children. You know, that we talked about the 4-14 window, those between the ages of 4 and 14, and the fact that surveys, research of Christians, say that 83% of Christians came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior between the age of 4 and 14. And we started having that conversation yesterday. I'm going to return to that, and this is what we're going to talk about today is, you know, I want to did you fall in that window? You know, when did you come to know Christ? And also we'll continue that conversation about what's happening in our schools and how we have a responsibility and the laws on our side to as churches, as individuals, to be involved in our communities in these after-school programs. Anyway, we're gonna go to the phone lines here in just a moment for that, 866-372-7234, but I want to continue and wrap up my conversation with General Boykin. General, thanks for standing by there.
Sure.
Okay. I want to go.
What I was saying was, in addition to at least 3,000 troops, there are going to be some more aircraft that are going to be deployed as well. And the advisors are going to be allowed to be with the Afghans, maybe down to the company level, whereas they've been at a much higher level up to this point. And they're going to be in a position to be able to call U.S. airstrikes. And what's key to that is rules of engagement that will allow them to be effective against not only ISIS, but Taliban targets as well. So it's a plethora of things that are being proposed here, all of which could make a difference there. I think what has not been articulated, which is both a positive and a minus, is the strategy that has not been articulated in this. What are we actually going to do? What do we think victory looks like? What are our strategic objectives here with this deployment of additional forces, both ground troops as well as aircraft?
Well, I mean, I think that's a very important question to ask, because if not, do we get, get bogged down in another quagmire? And if we have no objective, what do we hope to accomplish? How are we going to accomplish it? And when are we going to leave? I mean, this region of the world is not I'm not very optimistic that we're going to be able to fix everything that ails this part of the world.
Well, we're not, and I think all you have to do is look at the history of Afghanistan and that part of the world, and, you know, armies have been bogged down there for centuries, and just like the Russians, when they came out of there in 1989, they came out with their tail between their legs, and ultimately that contributed to the demise of the Soviet Union, so I think that there has to be some very clear objectives here. And, you know, Afghanistan, this is a country, if you've ever been in Afghanistan, this is a country that is really out of two centuries ago almost. So ultimately, we've got to know what our objectives are and what our exit strategy is going to look like. When are we going to bring our troops out? What has to happen? What do we have to achieve in order to bring it out? And I honestly, Tony, I think at this point, I think what we're looking at is trying to stay there long enough to make sure the government can stand on its own. And they do not appear to be ready to do that yet. What that looks like, I can't tell you, but hopefully his national security team is working on exactly that question.
Well, the good news is America is not running any longer away from problems, well, nor are they leading from behind.
No, that's exactly right. And I think I have some reservations about this deployment, to be very honest. But I also see this in a bigger picture, and I see this as, once again, standing up to the Russians and also broadening our strategy against ISIS in terms of recognizing that ISIS is in Afghanistan. That's why we dropped that MOAB here a few weeks ago. And for those reasons, I support this, but I do hope that we have a very clear exit strategy and that there's clearly some objectives that can be achieved that will ultimately be success as according to our definition, and then we'll be able to get our troops out of there.
All right. Well, we'll continue to watch that as that decision is made and implemented. General Jerry Boykin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
All right, folks, you're listening to Washington Watch, the number 866-372-7234. As I said, we're going to kind of jump back where we were yesterday. We had a pretty interesting conversation going on as we were talking about the atheist groups like Freedom From Religion Foundation going after schools in rural communities primarily that have, this is prompted by a story out of Tennessee where an elementary school was challenged because they had this was before school as opposed to after school, a Bible study club for kids. Now, they've dropped it. Of course, it's the end of the school year. They said they'll reconsider it. But we talked about the fact that schools all across America have what they call these good news clubs. This is an organization that promotes these, helps come alongside individual churches to charter these in their community. And it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court back in 2001, held constitutional. Why is that so important? Well, as we talked about yesterday, the numbers make very clear that the vast majority of Christians, those who are Christians today, came to know Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. In fact, we talked about George Barna's numbers, and he said that you have a 32% probability between the ages of 5 and 13 in coming to know Christ. That drops to 4% between 14 and 18, and over 18 is just 6% probability of coming to know Christ. So that window there is critically important, and we should not be backing up. We should not. So let's talk about that again today. We'll talk about those good news clubs. Also, be interested to know your story. Did you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a believer? Did it happen for you during that window? 83% of Christians say it did. 866-372-7234. Going to run our own poll here. Let's go to Missouri, where Michelle is on the line. Michelle, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
Your first question, yes, I did. I received Christ when I was 8 years old, but I, like many Christians that came to Christ early, have never not known a time when I didn't believe in Jesus. It was just that my parents took me to church, and they were believers, and so it was just part of our life. And both of my children, who are 12 and 9, have also made decisions for Christ already. And then regarding your story yesterday, our church has sponsored a Good News Club for a school down the street from us for the past 10 years. So we know the impact that it has in opening children up to Christ, and have seen at least, we've had at least 100 converts over this 10-year period. And so I don't know where those children would have been without Good News Club.
Not surprising, Michelle. I mean, my wife participates in the one that our church is involved in. And, you know, there's so many issues that kids are dealing with today, and so many children in non-intact homes, broken homes, and they're just looking for answers and looking for somebody that cares. And it's just so critically important. So, Michelle, thanks so much for calling, and kudos to you and your church for being involved with the Good News Clubs. Let's go to Texas, where Carol is on the line. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I am well. I came to know Christ when I was 14, and I had grown up in the church, had just, you know, kind of, it was something that we always did. And what brought me to Christ was the death of my best friend's mother. And it scared the daylights out of me, because I realized at that point that I was not a Christian, and if I died, I knew exactly where I would go. But both of my children came to know Christ in their, I would say my son was about 8 and my daughter was about 10. And one of the big influences in our life was always church camp. And we didn't have the Good News Clubs where I was growing up and in the school there. We did have Bible study when that was allowed, way back in the 60s and 70s. So, but the thing, Tony, is God has not given us a spirit of timidity. He has given us a spirit of a boldness in proclaiming the gospel. And when people like this Freedom From Religion Foundation step in and just try to bully, I think we need to push back.
Without question, because we do not have a spirit of fear, of timidity. It is, there's a boldness and there's a courage. And again, it is, I talked about this yesterday, as Christians, as Jesus was, meek, meaning the attitude, he was not, it's not about him. He was not arrogant, not boastful, not filled with pride. There was a meekness, but meekness is not to be confused with weakness. There is a boldness that comes with knowing your destiny and your purpose. And that's where the church needs to be today. And so far, everyone, even the family members that have been described here, fall within that window of the 414. All right, let's go on to Oklahoma, where Jim is on the line. Jim, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Brother Tony, thank you. I'm calling from Everett Piper Country.
Well, very good.
Congratulations. Yeah, congratulations. I wrote a book, Helping Public Schools, 101 Ways. Mm-hmm. Tony, we were served fake news 50 years ago. There is so much you can do in public schools, extreme teacher lounge makeovers, bus driver appreciation back. You can reach into these schools. Let's stop the fake news. Thank you for what you're doing. God bless you. Let's get into the school.
Jim is absolutely right. We have been misled in what we can and cannot do. And the left, like these Freedom From Religion Foundation groups, they target these schools that really don't know what their legal rights are. They're looking at huge expensive lawsuits, and so they just capitulate. Now some willingly do so because they don't, you know, they buy into that whole agenda. Others just fearful. But there are, as I said yesterday, Alliance Defending Freedom, First Liberty Institute, Legal Liberty Council. There's so many public interest law firms out there, Pacific Justice, that are willing to represent these schools for free. Or if you're a church and somehow you're denied the right to do what is available after school, they'll represent you. But Jim's absolutely right. There's so much we can do. We just need to do it. That's the challenge, is getting people to do what we can do within the law. This is all within the law, all legal, right now, today. All right, let's go to Illinois, where Jesse is on the line. Jesse, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, I wanted to just say that I'm excited to hear this getting some attention here on national radio. I was the previous director here for the Gateway chapter of Good News Club in the Illinois area. We kind of represent the St. Louis metro area on the east side of the river. And I got to tell you, I'm a local pastor as well. And our church started hosting a Good News Club a couple of years ago, and then I got involved with the organization. And my goodness, what a great blessing it is. We had the opportunity to share Christ with many kids, listening to their prayer requests, the broken families that are out there, the difficulties that children face. I'll never forget, I sat down to teach the first lesson, and man, those kids, some of them had never heard there was a God who loved them, and that there was a personal Savior for them. And what a blessing it was just to see their little lives changed. And not only that, we had great opportunities to interact with parents, great opportunities to interact with teachers, and just the overall difference it makes is amazing. And so if I could say anything to people listening out there, if you are in a local church, maybe you're in a position of leadership, I encourage you, take the opportunity. I think as Paul would say, we have a wide open door for effective service yes. right now within the public school. And who knows how long that will last.
But you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Of course, when Paul said there's a wide open door, he also said there was great opposition. And there is opposition. But as Paul did, he did not back away. He went forward. And so should we. Jesse, thank you so much for calling. Great testimony as to the impact of these good news clubs. And look, window of opportunity to go in and go outside the four walls of the church. If we're waiting for people to come in, it's not going to happen. You know, a few people may stumble in, but we got to go. You know, Jesus came. He came to this earth. And then when he gave the Great Commission, he says, go. He didn't say, wait for them to come to you. This is a great opportunity. Let's reach these children. All right, folks. Out of time. Sorry I didn't get to the rest of the calls, but we're up against the end of the program, so I didn't want to start another phone call. But we'll continue this discussion. As I mentioned, we're moving into the period of vacation Bible school when churches have a chance to reach kids in their community. Great opportunity to reach a target-rich environment. Those kids between the ages of 4 and 14, they need to know that there is a God that loves them and wants to know them. And you can tell them. All right, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians chapter 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.